Mr. President, I've listened carefully to the debate. I've examined the treaty very closely, read the economic forecast, and most importantly, Mr. President, I've listened to my constituents on both sides of this issue. Never before have so many Americans, and yes, so many Kentuckians, paid this kind of attention to a proposed trade agreement. They're paying attention because they recognize that NAFTA is about more than just trade policies. It's about what kind of an economy, what kind of standard of living, and what kind of future we're to face. It's not just trade, it's about people. Despite the intense interest proponents of the treaty have casually dismissed the fears of those who see America coming out on the short end of this deal. To those who see their jobs and business opportunities going south. And Mr. President, who is to say their fears and their interest are not the interest of the nation? That their fears and their interest are somehow less important, less valuable than those who expect to gain from this treaty? I am certainly not prepared to say that, because while I have received plenty of those mass mailing postcards and plenty of those computer-generated letters, it was the letters penned on plain old line notebook paper with just a few sentences that seemed to get to the core of this debate. There was a letter from a man in Bradfordsville, Kentucky, that asked me just one question. Why should Mexicans want to buy American corn when other South American countries with little or no standards produce and sell corn cheaper because of the much lower standards? There was the letter from a couple in Lebanon, Kentucky, who said they just didn't get it. The government must be trying to pull the wool over the public's eyes. Low Mexican wages might entice manufacturing jobs down south, but how would they increase the average Mexican's ability to buy more U.S. goods? There was the man from Campbellsville who said that perhaps exports would increase to Mexico, but at what price? I read a column the other day, Mr. President, that disturbed me greatly. That column said whether we gain 300,000 jobs or lose 200,000 jobs is meaningless in a nation of 130 million jobs. It's a sad day, Mr. President, in this country when we dismiss thousands of people and their families as meaningless. My friends, these letter writers are not meaningless to me. They are my constituents. They are the men and women who are trying to hold on to their jobs in times of corporate streamlining and downsizing. And that's a good word, Mr. President, downsizing. That's really laying off, being fired, losing your job. There are families trying to save for their children's education and for their retirement. They are the people who make our community strong and carry the hope of better life for the future generations. Remember them? They're the ones who played by the rules and believe that hard work pays off. And they're the people whose plain old common sense, not fear, says something about the agreement isn't fair. If the agreement passes, and I sincerely hope that 300,000 jobs are created rather than 200,000 jobs lost. I sincerely hope that we see an explosion of U.S. goods and products being bought by the people of Mexico. I sincerely hope that if large corporations move south, our small businesses will be able to compete against lower wages, lower taxes, and fewer regulations. But hope will not win my vote today. My concerns have not been alleviated in this debate. No one has adequately answered how this treaty assures that we will not see the one-way flood of goods from Mexico. We'll not see Mexico become an export platform for other nations with low wages and substandard conditions. No one has guaranteed that farmers and small businesses will be able to survive the 10 to 15 years that NAFTA allows Mexico to phase out its high barriers to agriculture and industry. No one has explained why we must pick winners and losers. Mr. President, no one has explained to this senator, why NAFTA must pick winners and losers among the U.S. industry. With incentives for big business to move south, and it's simply a wish of good luck as they leave for the small businesses left behind to fend for themselves. Small businesses that will live under OSHA, clean air, clean water, and minimum wage and federal regulations. Where is the logic in encouraging large businesses to pack up while heaping higher and higher standards and higher costs on those who remain? No one has explained to me how this treaty can be a quick fix for the American economy. It's wrong to rely exclusively on exports to Mexico to boost our economy. Exports are only 10% of our overall economic activity, and exports to Mexico are a small fraction of that 10%. And no one has explained to me how, when we currently export almost $50 billion to Mexico, with only $7 billion reaching the Mexican consumer and the rest coming back as finished goods, how that equals more jobs for Americans and more Mexicans purchasing our goods. That is a false figure, Mr. President. When you send, you count the export and it's going to be assembled in Mexico and come back with a low tariff and low wages, how we gain many American jobs. Just how much interested buying power can we squeeze out of a country that makes up only 4% of the total buying power of our three countries combined? We hear so much about the $7 trillion economy, the $7 trillion economy that we'll be able to create here. Well, $6 trillion of that is the United States, 11% is Canada, and 4% is Mexico. And Mr. President, that just doesn't compute, at least not on a computer made in the United States of America. But perhaps the best lesson is history itself. We heard all about these same arguments before China opened up to trade. The talk was just as big. We were going to sell goods faster than we could make them. Yet, while there have certainly been improvements for the average Chinese citizen, trade is still very much a one-way street with China. Our trade deficit with China, our second largest, has increased every year since we opened the door to trading, and now nearing $30 billion deficit in balance of trade with these United States. I'm not against raising Mexico's standards to meet ours, but no one can explain to those Kentuckians with doubts how we can risk lowering our standards for the sake of signing this agreement. I'm not against free trade with Mexico, and neither are those Kentuckians who've written to me. We need to foster trade relations with our neighbors to the north and to the south. It is in the best interest of the United States that we build a strong trading bloc in this hemisphere, but this agreement does not do it. What we're against is accepting second best, and this treaty is second best. I believe we can do better than this treaty. My vote today is not a vote for isolationism, but Mr. President, there happens to be some isolationism now in this treaty. Kentucky doesn't sell any citrus, but we put a barrier up now for citrus. And Mr. President, we don't sell sugar, but they put a barrier up to isolate us on sugar sales and others. In Kentucky, for instance, we do sell a lot of tobacco, and we sell tobacco to Mexico. We've had 20% tariff request for license fee and franchise fee. They dropped the license fee and franchise fee, but raised the tariff to 50%. So now it takes us 6 years to get back to where we are today with Mexico, and 10 years to get back to zero. So Kentucky didn't receive any favors. And as that constituent of mine that wrote, how in the world are they going to buy our grain when they can buy it from other countries cheaper with less standards? And so, Mr. President, it's not a vote for isolationism, but a vote for going back to the drawing board for a deal that makes the American people's concern, takes the American people's concern seriously. I compliment President Clinton on his efforts to improve this treaty. And regardless of the vote today, I stand ready to work with him to ensure that this treaty ultimately works for the benefit of all Americans. But for today, Mr. President, my vote is with those people others call meaningless, and I will oppose a NAFTA.